the Lord. So this morning, I have a line here. All good things, and how does this go? All good things come to an end. Yeah, that's how that goes. All good things must come to an end. And, you know, that line I've resorted to on occasion when, especially with younger people, we have to leave the amusement park now. It's time to go from the pool. And even I have to use that line on occasion with myself when I finish a book and it was like, ah, or a movie, or even a series. Yeah, even though some series seem like they'll never end, NCIS, for example. Will it ever? Or Doctor Who? They'll just morph it again, you know. And so, that statement is a operating principle. It's kind of a modus operandi, if you would, for us to handle life here, especially when we finish that movie or the kids have to leave the pool or the amusement park. There are other statements that are from God that are statements of modus operandi, the way things operate here. For example, this one from Proverbs 13:20, he who walks with the wise, and how does that end? Grows wise. You hang around with wise people, you pick up on it. And that goes on to say, but a companion of fools suffers harm. There is going to be damage from that. It will happen. Also, this statement is a proverb. Do not be misled. Bad companions corrupt good character. Good morals, good manners. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. These are kind of modus operandi, some from God and some, like this one, is from the world. There's a couple others from the world. For example, this one, the early bird catches the worm. But do you know, according to God's statements, like in Ecclesiastes, that's not always true. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 127, God says it's futile for you to rise up early and stay up late. And he's talking about doing what you're after out of context with God, because God gives to his, even in their sleep, he accomplishes his purpose with them. So some of these modus operandi that are the world's creation don't actually line up with, well, the ones that are God's creation. There's one other one that I want to share with you. It goes like this. Whatever goes up must come down. Huh. So, is that always true? I think just this week they sent something to the space station that's not coming down. It went up, but it's not. Well, is this one always true? All good things must come to an end. Well, I want you to know that that may well be in our world a modus operandi, the way things are, and people kind of doot-doot. Give a little quote about that. But with God, that's not a modus operandi with God. You will show me, this is from Psalms 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forever. More. Fullness of joy. Pleasures forever. Psalm 16:11. God says that to us. All good things must come to an end. And indeed, in a fallen world, we have to see how that modus operandi happens. But with God, that is not the modus operandi. In Romans chapter 6, we come to a passage where God talks to us about some things that are eternal. Good things that are eternal, where there is the fullness and unending pleasures. Now we come to this as we come to the conclusion of Romans. Romans has been a good thing. It has been very beneficial to me. It's been beneficial to some who are sitting here as they've interacted with me about that. Some have been spurred on in regards to what Paul's talking about here, being ready. Actually thoughtful and ready with the good news of God. Paul says, that's the case for me. I'm ready. And it has been a good thing for me and for those who have talked with me, like in hospital settings where somebody comes up and they're under a severe amount of pressure, and to talk to them about the Lord. That's been told to me. Family members going through things and being ready with good news. It's a good thing, but it does come to an end here. And as it comes to an end, the Apostle Paul points us in the direction of the eternal. And I want you to see that with me. Look with me now at Romans chapter 16. We pick up at verse 25. Now to him. This is given to us as a chorus of praise, and it communicates to us in this chorus of praise. It's called the doxology, which is an expression of honor, thanksgiving, appreciation to what deserves honor. Now to him, who is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that has been kept secret for long ages, but has now been revealed, disclosed, and the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. So be it. Let it be. I agree with that. In this passage, we're going to talk about being in a community, because that's what the Apostle Paul focuses on as he closes this book, which has been extremely beneficial in carrying good news, being ready with good news in the situations we encounter in people's lives. Whether sadness experience, hospital experiences, disappointments, with good news in a community. In a community. In this passage, we're going to take a look about being in a community that never ends. An assembly, a group of people that goes on forever. And we're going to talk about it as the apostle does in this way. Knowing a community of eternal individuals. He does this, especially in Romans chapter 16, and he covers it kind of in verses 1 through 24. And then we're going to look at living in a community that never ends. The how and the why God has this in mind. And it comes out of that chorus of praise where he talks to us about this. As we look at this, what we do in God's service, what you are doing, what I am doing, what we're called to do, is beyond us. It is absolutely beyond what we can pull off. It's beyond us in two ways. One way is that it's beyond us in being able to actually do this. Living in community with other eternal beings at home, it's impossible to pull off what God says. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. It's beyond our capabilities. And yet the Apostle Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. There is an empowering that comes from God to pull off what God calls us to be and to do in this life with his good news. With his good news in our family, with his new news in our workplace, with his good news if we win the regionals or if we lose. It's nice to see the sectionals go the way they did, for us anyway. But to be good news and to communicate good news in that setting and in every setting that God calls you to do is beyond you. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And he talks about that when he talks about being connected to him and bearing fruit in the vine, John 15. And the Apostle Paul asserts, however, when for him to live was Christ and to die was gain, that I can do all the things that God has called. I can do this being and communicating good news through Christ who strengthens me. So the first point I want to make to you about living in this community that never ends, is that what you are called to do is beyond you. It is beyond you in what you can pull off, and it is beyond you in how far-reaching the impact of what you do now goes. Did you get that? It is beyond you in how far-reaching the impact of what you do now will go. It is beyond you. What you have to do is beyond your capability, and how far goes is beyond how far you could send it, but not beyond how far God intends it to go. In the ages to come, God says to us, in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. And then he goes on from there and talks about rescuing us by his grace, and that we are then his workmanship appointed in Christ Jesus for the good works that he's foreordained that we should walk in them. He foreordained it. It was beyond you. He ordained it before you, and he will carry the impact of it far beyond you, but it is what you are doing now that he's going to use. It's an eternal thing we're talking about here. It's beyond you to be able to do it. It's beyond you in how far-reaching it goes, because it touches people who are eternal, and it touches ages to come. That's what the Bible says. So as we start this morning, I wanted to establish that not all good things come to an end with God. They are some that go on forever. As a matter of fact, R.C. Sproul, who is no longer on this planet, said it this way. What you do now matters for a long, long time. As a matter of fact, it matters forever. Not any pressure. Just fact. What you're doing now. Having said that, I want us to talk here about knowing a community of eternal individuals. The Apostle Paul does this here in the 16th chapter of Romans. Dr. Stewart laid out for us last week that there were some folks that were with the Romans. They actually lived in Rome. And the first ones the Apostle Paul talks about knowing this community, were miles and miles and miles, hundreds of miles away from him. They were in Rome. He often wanted to go to Rome. He'd been prevented from going from Rome. We talked about that when we talked about plans and purpose. But still, the Apostle Paul had community with those folks there in Rome. And he expresses warm regards for them in verses 1 through verse number 16. He talks there about 26 individuals, 26 people. He starts by mentioning Phoebe, who was actually with him and was going there to them, and as they were sending her, he asked them to welcome her. That's verses 1 and 2. And then he starts out with these warm regards, these things calling greetings, which means to embrace, to fold your arms around. In embrace. Greet, he says, Priscilla and Aquila. Some of you who have a little background in how this unfolded in the books of Acts know the place of Priscilla and Aquila with the Apostle Paul. That he, doing the nitty-gritty of what God called him to do, he went and stayed with them and worked with them, and they instructed him and instructed others. And he gained from them. And he talks over and over and over. And I'm not going to mention those. Dr. Stewart did that well last week when he mentioned all of these names, which I am not going to attempt to pronounce. But these were eternal beings that were far away. And he expresses these warm regards for them. And then he tells these folks to watch out. And he sounds warning there that in this group of eternal folks, there's going to come some who are going to cause divisions, cause going one way and cause going the other way. And they're going to do this by teaching things that are contrary to what God has said to us in his word. And I want you to know we are in the midst of that big time right now. Big time. Big time. Not just in ritualistic churches, but even in churches that are claiming to be believers in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ being what saves us and not of ourselves. And that kind of thing goes on. And he sounds a warning, a watch out warning. Do you know, this is springtime, and last week I got inundated with a bunch of information about what I needed to do to prepare for watches and warnings in the hospital, in the medical clinic. watches, tornado watches and storm watches and warnings when they come out, and the distinction between the watch and the warning and what actions we needed to take. I want you to know that is being sounded by the Apostle Paul here. The watch out warnings of this. And so much it's taken nonchalantly about that. It's like, well, you know, they don't actually preach this, and it's not, but it's, they have fun and they get together and they have movies. We got a movie. There you go. This sounding of a watch warning is important. It's to be taken to heart. So the Apostle Paul expresses these warm regards and these watch warnings, and then he adds this, to those who are with me. This is to those who are with you there in Rome. These who are with me here in Corinth, because that's where the Apostle Paul is. If you slide down to verse 23, we see that's where he is. In verse 23, he talks about Gaius, who is his host to me and to the church. Gaius, according to 1 Corinthians 1:14, was a believer who lived in Corinth. According to the book of Acts, he appears to have a house right next door to the synagogue, and the church met there when they run into trouble with the synagogue, and they met there, and this Gaius is a host to the Apostle Paul now as he writes this letter. Paul is writing from Corinth. And he writes here with Erastus, greets you, the one who's with me. Erastus is the city treasurer. He has a position of influence here in the city. And Erastus, according to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, lived there in Corinth. Paul's in Corinth as he writes this. We know this too from Phoebe. Phoebe was a servant of the church in Centria, which I've got a map here that I want you to see. Those with me here in Corinth, Gaius, Erastus, Phoebe. Yeah, there's the map. Here's the map. The map, maps are never good on this. I should probably get one with more. Right here, see, that this is Crete right here. This is Paul's third missionary journey. And this is Crete, and this is Centria right there. And the one is really, as a matter of fact, it's closer than it looks when you look at the distance, what is it called, ratio here. This is actually the port city for Corinth, and the two churches were tight. Paul's writing from Corinth when he does this. That's all my point was. So he says, those with me here in Corinth. And he writes about those who are with him here, the folks with me, Timothy. You ever heard of Timothy? Anybody ever hear about Timothy in the Bible? 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Yeah, that's the Timothy. Look at verse number 21. Timothy, my fellow worker. These are my folks, he says. This is someone who does it shoulder to shoulder with me. He is my fellow worker. These are folks with me, whom I am with, and they are with me, and we're doing this. And Lucas and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, these are my people. These are folks who are of the tribe of Benjamin that are relatives to me, he said. These are eternal folks, those with me. And by the way, I thought Paul wrote the book of Romans, did he? Well, look at verse 22. I, Tertius, let me see, I got my pronunciation here. Dr. Stewart did it so well, but I need to look at mine. Here we go. Tertius, who wrote this letter, greets you in the Lord. Yeah, he was a stenographer, if you would. He was the one who took the dictation. The Apostle Paul does this. He talks about others. Here, in this letter, now I'm writing this with my own hand. He gave the words, and this guy wrote them down. The Apostle Paul, here, this guy with him, tells him, put in your greeting there at the end. These are my folks, my people. Of course, we've already talked about Gaius and Erastus and then Quartus. He greets you. Eternal people serving with me. What you do is beyond you. What we're called to do as followers of Christ, if we're in the good news, if we're really in it, what you're to do with it is beyond you. It's beyond what you can pull off. It's beyond you in how far-reaching this is going to go, what you do now, because it's touching eternal people. And they carry this forever. Have you ever heard an elephant never forgets? You ever heard that? You know, I found something that remembers better than an elephant. It's people, because they talk about it, and they carry it, and they share it, and they don't forget. And eternal people are the ones we serve with, we rub shoulders with. Do you ever take people for granted? Okay, let me put it a different way. How often do you take people for granted? Yet people are the most valuable of all that's around us. It's people that are the most valuable. Don't let the dailiness of living with the people in your world distract you from how valuable these people are. Some are small. Some are tall. Some are young and some are old, and the young ones are so excited and the old ones are so, I'm so tired of this. But they're all people that bear an image of God, and they're eternal. Somewhere they're eternal, and they won't forget. They won't forget. We see that clearly in Lazarus. Not Lazarus that was raised from the dead, but the rich man in Lazarus. We see it clearly there. The guy who died and was in Hades didn't forget. He was eternal. And people in heaven don't forget. In Revelation, we see them talking to the Lord, and it talks about the things that happened to them on the earth and the Lord taking correct actions for these. And they remember the ones there in heaven. They remember. And it's eternal. And it's not that what happens on Tuesday is going to be gone and forgotten about on Friday. It's not that way. And recently, I've been speaking with someone who's had a very tough time of it here. And this tough time, I gave him a little booklet on being thankful. And this can transform them, as it has been doing, not fully arrived yet, but to see that there is much around, even in this difficult spot, to give thanks to God for. And especially the people. Oh, they're so routine and so everyday, and they're the people that I do at work and I count on and at home, and yeah. That's the eternal ones we're talking about. One final point here to add. This, which I've been talking to you about, this thing about eternal individuals, there who weren't close, these who are close, that we serve with, that we work with, that we live with, that host us, that this is for us too. Hey, take a look at your Bible. And where is verse 24? In your Bible, where is verse 24? In the footnote, he says. As you're looking to your Bible, do you see how it goes kind of from 23 to 25? Do you see that? Okay. Somebody says no, because I know they have... I get to talk about what I know. They've got a Textus Receptus edition. Now, this phrase here, and I want to talk about this because this is important. Sometimes, especially if we have different translations, we see things that are said and some things aren't there. And I've had it brought to me and said, how can you trust the Bible when it's got errors in it? See, for example, my Bible goes from 23 to 25, and it puts in the footnote this statement. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And it says this. This is in some manuscripts, and it's not in some manuscripts. Now, I have tools that have been exposed to tools. I can expose you to tools that are called apparatus. New Testament Greek apparatus. And what that means is it takes all these variants and it lays them out for us to see, and it tells you what manuscripts and what families have this statement and what don't. Okay? And then you say, I thought this was the Word of God and it has no error in it. Well, this phrase that I just quoted to you from verse 24, that's not in some of your translations except in a footnote. This statement is, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Did God really say that? Yes, he did. In all these places, God said that, and there is no question that that was in the Bible. Now, somehow, some way, it ends up here. Is it supposed to be here? Is it not supposed to be here? You know what? It doesn't make any difference, because the point is very clear to us that this, under the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, this thing of being with eternal beings applies to all. By the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, be with you all. And can I tell you, that is the case for every single one of those variants, that it's said in other places and it changes nothing. That the Bible, not one variant changes a thing of what the Bible says to us in its totality. This is the Word of God. Did God say this through the Apostle Paul? Now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. A few times. Whether here or not, point is still clear.
It's in verse 1 here too, almost exactly.
Almost exactly. The grace and peace of our Lord will soon, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I wanted you to know that just because sometimes it gets to be an interesting conflict in serving the Lord. Having said that, I want to now do this. I want to talk about living in a community that never ends. You see, folks, that's what we're in. These people who we see week after week, who we talk to, have deep end with, who we pray for, who we feel for, who we have, some of you tell me, you're more like my family than my family is. That's true for a lot of folks. That's a good thing. These people, they're eternal. These people are more valuable than anything else around us. And there is a reason why God gave us a community. Some people think I can do it on my own. If you think that, you are thinking contrary to what God says. God says, don't forsake this. It's been the habit of some. Been the habit of some. And they do it to their detriment. This group, God's eternal purpose for us is with this group. And the Apostle Paul here in this expression of thanksgiving, praise, doxology, giving glory to God, tells us two things. He tells us, here's how we get to be in this community that never ends. Here's how. Here's the way, he says. Verse 25. It's because of him. Now, he does this in expression of praise by saying to him, it's because of him who establishes you. Now to him who is able to establish you. He sets you in this. He firmly sets you in this community. This thing is talking about putting something in, like you're laying a support pole for a bridge, and you go down into that water and you find a foundation and you set this thing firm and you make it strong. He who is able to do that has put you in this community. He's put you in, he says, according to my gospel, the Apostle Paul says. The gospel, of course, is the good news that this whole thing has been about. The death of Jesus Christ for our sins, his burial, his resurrection, his death paid the sin price. His burial demonstrated the reality of his death, and his resurrection was for our justification, to show we are made right with God through him. He was raised from the dead by the Spirit of God's holiness that raised him from the dead. That gospel and us putting our trust in that gospel is the good news of God. And according to the gospel, he has established you in this community. And according to the revelation, he says it like this, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, which we've just done, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. This is an unveiling of something that was not made known. Can I tell you that there are many people today who don't know this? When I was sitting beside this person who has a supportive role in that meeting, and he asked me, what am I going to do in retirement? And then he started to talk about him being an atheist and reading this book and how it's his thing was hidden from him. Before May 15th, 1975, on the university campus of Kent State, it was hidden to me. But I remember sitting there and going through a little booklet, and the person quoting 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and as they was talking this, suddenly it became perfectly clear that Jesus Christ died for my sin. Because he died, I don't have to die. He took my sin debt. And the Bible talks about a new birth, and the Bible talks about the Lord opening your heart. And the Bible talks about being drawn to God, and that revelation, that unveiling from God came home to me. Now, some get it when they're growing up as kids. That's what happened to some one of my kids. I remember my kid going with me to the fair and was stopping by the child evangelism little building that they had set up. And we got this little booklet in. The kid takes this home and introduced to Jesus Christ, something I've been trying to do for a long time. And suddenly God does it this way. And so what do? Throw my hands up in the air and say, why didn't you use me? Absolutely not. You rejoice because it's beyond you. It's beyond what you can do. You can't shake him. You can't force him. You can't push him. You can't drag him into the kingdom of God. But God does it. He does it when he unveils this mystery to them and they come to Christ. And that's the way it is. I have a daughter who calls years later after loading her gun with the truth. And she calls to me and say, Dad, I got saved. Do you know I was lost? Do you know I was going to hell? And she unfolded this all to me and was like, yeah, amen, amen. Because this is the way it is. This is the eternal stuff that is beyond us. It is this being in this community is according to a revelation that was hid but is now disclosed. That's what we're about. That's what we're in. And it's eternal. And I can't be enthusiastic about that enough. Did you kind of catch up? Okay, I got to go on. And I want to add this too. It's according to the command of the eternal God. Look at what he says. But it has now been disclosed through the prophetic writings, through the teaching in the scriptures, and has been made known to all the nations according to the command of the eternal God. This is God's command, how it works, and it will work this way until he is finished with this planet, and the ages to come unfold the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us who believe. That's what we're in on. That's our community. That's it. Now, I know that in the routine and rigors of daily life, we lose sight of this, and it looks like what I am is a dead-end job with no future, and I can't get it to work right at home. I know it seems like that, but all of that is so that we work this into it, into this community, we work this in. And when we work this in, this works because it's according to the command of the eternal God who accomplishes what he has in mind. Not one word of all that he says will ever fail. Not one word. That is an amazing thing. And that's what we're in on because of him who sets you strong in this. Whew. One last thing here. Here's why. Here is why we are in on this. This is what we are in on this for. And when this good thing of the book of the Romans comes to an end, he points us to the eternal and he says, here's what you're in it for. You being ready with good news in your situation to think of these people, to pray of these for these people, to think how you can help these people in loving these people and showing them kindness to these people so that perhaps God grants you an opportunity to see them turn to Christ by what you say, from what you've done. And that does happen. Very rarely does the Lord ever let us see this, but it did with my sister. My sister came to Christ. My sister Mary came to Christ in a very difficult situation. Her husband suddenly didn't want anything to do with her. He left her with three small kids, and she is kind of like destroying it. And in the midst of that, she tells me now, years later, she tells me that she was just torn and cried out to God and said this, God, whatever Tom and whatever Mike has, I want that too. And sometimes it's beyond us. And it is always beyond us. Sometimes it's beyond us to ever see it, but in the ages to come, he will show the exceeding riches of his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's what's going to happen. The impact of you on people close to you and far away from you. And here's why we are here. To bring about the obedience of the faith. That's what he says. Here's where this is to go. To bring about the obedience of faith. It's not obeying that gets you to go to heaven. It's putting trust in Jesus. But a strange thing happens. Suddenly, when you put that trust in, you want to please God. You want to align with him. And it's this obedience of faith that this is going to. Here, now, on the planet, this is what's happening. God, by eternal command, is doing this. God, according to his revelation of the mystery, God, according to this gospel of Paul that he had, this good news, God is doing this. And it's ultimately to be to the glory of the only wise God. That's what he says. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen, he says. So be it. For sure. That's it. Amen. So be it. Let it be. I agree. Let it be. That's it. That is it. That is it. Amen.